agree by saying amen. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. I want to look at verse 4 and verse 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, we're going to talk about faith. Faith is a topic that a lot of times I see people mention faith, but I'm not sure they're really walking in faith because I don't see any evidence of it. Faith takes you beyond the natural. And one of the ways that you can tell somebody's in faith is that these things are happening in their lives, things that God has planned in his scripture, and things that seem to stand out, because faith has a way of promoting you. It has a way of bringing you to the front line and giving you victory. And one of the ways, the only way really that's brought in the Bible that you're going to overcome the world is by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. And so it didn't say by love, it said by faith. Love is very important because without it, faith laws don't work. But he is saying here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I truly believe that God will step over 20,000 people to get to one person with some faith. The reason why is because it's what God has ordered and the way that he wants us to live. And I think that shows an obedience to him. And God responds to faith. As a matter of fact, I put something down here. God never responds to anything but faith. You have to have faith in his mercy or faith in something. When somebody prays for you, they're going to have some faith. But somebody's going to have some faith up in there somewhere. Right? So faith. And the Bible talks about in terms of faith that he's called us to walk by faith. And it says that this walk of faith, let's go over to it. Romans chapter 1, please. Over in Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to move along pretty quickly because you know some of this. And like I said, it's a refresher. Refresher means to me that I just took my car in for a tune-up. And they just found a head gasket that was kind of, the screw that's kind of loose, and they tightened that up and make sure that water was serviced and so forth and so on. In other words, you just came in for a tune-up tonight. And why? We're just going to make sure that all the power is in your faith that it should be. It would have said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live how?
By faith.
The just shall live by faith. So God is expecting us to live by faith. Now this is every minute, every hour, every day. He doesn't expect us to go on a faith hiatus. He expects us to actually live by faith and operate by faith. And the Bible says that faith grows. And that as you use your faith, it says that faith will increase for us. And that it'll get stronger and stronger. And you'll be able to do more with your faith tomorrow than you do today. And there is ever increasing faith, meaning that there is no plateau for faith. Faith continues to increase more and more. Now, what I see a lot of times in churches is somebody's living on somebody else's faith. And what we need to do is stop that. We need to get our own faith. Because the Bible says all men have not faith. Let's go to that. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians is back with the T's, you know, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, and so forth. I'm just helping you now. Praise God. I know you know everything. Okay. All right. I just rule that. Okay. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Okay. All men have not faith. Okay. Now, if you just want to put another scripture down, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, and you'll see there, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth, come on, exceedingly. So faith can grow. But all men have not faith. And people who don't, are not born again, are cannot, don't have faith, not connected with faith. And if you look, let me just show you these verses and then we'll just talk. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. By the way, this is my favorite topic, faith. Favorite topic. You know, I go somewhere and somebody says, well, you know, you have the gift of faith. Oh, yeah, right. I got to work on my faith just like you work on yours. The problem is I'm serious about mine. Okay. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, underline the word brethren, he's talking to you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're not proving it to God. And that's why Bishop Oyedepo came here and said, if you don't have, if your faith has no proof, it's a fake. F-A-K-E, it's a fake. So what you now got to do is make sure your faith is proven. Make sure you're producing something with your faith. You should be able to point to something, my faith did that. Now, wait a minute. If that's something you could have done in the natural anyway, then how do you know your faith did it? Faith takes you beyond natural limits. Look at verse 3. For I say, though through the grace that given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more what? Highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now notice what the first verse says. I beseech you therefore who? Brethren. So every man is talking about who? Brethren. Not talking about every man. He's talking about every man that's in the kingdom. God has dealt to you a measure of faith. Now the thing about it, if you're born again, then you're reconnected with the eternal. If you're born again, you're reconnected with the eternal. And we're going to talk about some of this in a minute. But once you get born again, you're reconnected with God, with the eternal. Now, faith is injected inside of you. You have a measure of faith. It says here that you have the measure of faith. In other words, you have the same measure that I have. The only difference is with mine, perhaps I've developed mine more than you have yours. Or you're new in the faith and you haven't developed yours yet. Or you may have developed yours more than somebody else's. My point to you is that we're all dealt that same measure. So now we have to develop it. It's up to us to develop that faith. Now, the Holy Ghost is with us and Jesus is the author and finisher or developer of our faith. So he's going to put you in a place or take you places where he wants you to use, he desires for you to use your faith. Say amen to that. And remember what I said, a lot of Christians are looking for places they don't have to use any faith. And that's not the way God does it, folks. He gives you room for your faith and so forth like that. Now, listen, that's a whole, this whole Job thing. Well, you know, God put the devil on Job because he was testing him. And I don't believe all of that. Now, I'm only saying that this faith God gives you is to overcome the world. Because if you have faith, then you become a target for the devil. Because the enemy is not after you. He's after that ingredient inside of you called faith. Because if that's developed too much, you'll take everything he's got. because he's sitting on property that belongs to you. I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. I put down here private property. He's holding private property. Praise God in heaven. I know that was God. So I'm saying that your faith brings you into a world of unlimited possibilities. So when you have faith, that faith is designed to give you an operation that's far above the world system and can overcome anything in the world, and nothing is now impossible for you, because that faith reconnects you with the eternal. The eternal, of course, is God and that whole realm. And so that faith does that. So you have that kind of faith. It's not that you don't have it, it's that you do have that kind of faith. Now let's go and look at a picture of that. Let's go over here to, wow. I meant to bring something to you. I had left it in that tablet. I started to bring that. Let's go over here to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Aren't you there, right? All right, this is when Jesus had been teaching his disciples. And then in verse 35, he said, "And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great, what? Calm. And he said unto them, why are you so, what? Fearful. How is it that you have, what? No faith. Now, did he expect them to use their faith? Yes. But what did the devil do with their faith? He stole it. He stole it. He got them to look more at their circumstances than they did at the word of God, the promise of God. And when that happens, it's interesting how doubt begins to come into our hearts. And so in a battle especially, you got to keep your eye right on the word of God. Now, faith must be fed, because if it doesn't, it'll start to wane. It'll start to get seemingly kind of weak and kind of whatever. But also, faith declares the victory in the middle of the battle. Faith always declares the victory in the middle of the battle. And remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17, here's David. And David comes to the front line and then ends up facing Goliath. And Goliath, you know, cursed David and so forth. And then David said, you know, well, this day, Lord have mercy. Can I turn to that? Praise God. Let's go over there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like you to see something there. I did a whole study on this morning. I left my tablet. I'll get it tomorrow. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look what he says here. Now, God told me to tell you that faith is fun. Now, I want to tell you that. And to tell you also that faith is easy. Amen. It is not hard. It's not some struggle. It's not the only way people think it's like that is because they have intellectually processed faith. Faith is a force that comes out of your spirit that even a child can use. It is not complicated, and it's easy, and it's not a struggle. You find yourself struggling, you're going to find the thing that you're struggling with is trying to, your flesh is trying to play a part in your faith. and you need to get it out and just cool out. Because once you got faith, you can see it on your face. I better talk over here. Once you got faith, you can see it. There's a peace on you because you know the outcome. Faith can see. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You know the outcome. That's when you know you're in faith. You know, now understand the waters are raging around you. But if you keep your eye on Jesus, keep your eye on the author and finisher of your faith, keep your eye on the Word of God. And sometimes what you have to do is just, you know, praise God and so forth, because praise stills the avenger. Sometimes you have to plead the blood, because the blood, he can't cross that line. Sometimes, are you following what I'm saying? But you're fighting the good fight of faith. Why? Because you got to get to the other side, and your faith is key for your destiny. So he says over in 1 Samuel, he talks about this David coming in the front line, verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stave and the stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day. Now, you might want to put this day in highlighter or something, because one of the things that he was teaching me this morning is that God's people many times are waiting on God. And whatever God's going to do for you, he's already done that. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm going to say something. Watch it. God's ability is your inheritance. God's ability is your inheritance. Faith connects the two. Because faith is the thing that you need to access your inheritance. Got it? I'll say it again. God's ability is your inheritance. He says, Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? No wonder you're not going to be afraid. If his strength is your inheritance, if his ability is your inheritance, you're in good shape. Say amen to that. Now you can see how David could talk so big being a young boy, because he wasn't looking at his ability. He was connected by the covenant to God's ability. And he could treat it like it's his own. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. Then put it up there. Put the rest of that up there. I'm not sure which verse it was. He said, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give your carcasses, the carcasses of the hosts of Philistines this day, to the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Keep going. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. See, that's the whole idea about the binding of Isaac. That's wrapping me and God together. It's called a covenant. Abraham, he was married to God. He and God became one through a covenant. We got married, covenant, we became one. She don't go downtown and wonder as she's shopping if her name is Winston. Are you following what I'm saying? And my point to you is that we are one with him in Christ. Now this is put it up there on the board, please. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the Amplified translation. All right. Now look at the Amplified translation, Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, pardon me. And verse 1. Now faith is assurance, a confirmation, the title deed. See, title deed, put in your Bible, title deed. Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But notice what it is. Faith is the title deed. See, the enemy is trying to keep the title. But the whole earth belongs to you. See, and what a stronghold is any thinking that is contrary to the word of God. That's why it says casting down arguments. See, the stronghold will argue with the word. Try to tell you that it's not yours. It is mine. Well, if it's yours, why don't you have it? I do have it. And I'm going to manifest that thing right now. Now, I want you to go back to David again, because could you go back there again, please, where he said this day, which the first this day, praise the Lord. I don't remember exactly what verse it was, but 46. And the Lord, this day. Now, will the Lord deliver you into my hand, smite you and take a head off you, and he'll give you the carcasses of a host of Philistines this day. I like this. Now, religion never gives a time. It always says someday. But faith says when it's going to happen. Now, think about it. If I've got God's inheritance, if I've part his strength, his ability is my inheritance, God can say when something's going to happen, and it'll happen right on the millisecond that he said is going to happen. Well, if I got that same ability, I can say that too. That I'll have the car on Tuesday. Yeah. Come on now. I'll have the tuition next Monday. I'm just saying, now, in the middle of a battle now, because your mind is fighting you, because the enemy is trying to inject thoughts into your mind, but the way you overcome the world is by faith. You're going to have to believe something you can't see yet and have no natural proof that it exists. Boy, I see this going to be two or three nights of some good stuff here. Yes, glory. Yeah. Now, it's all there. Everything's already there. Going up, please, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Put it up there on the board when you get it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath... trying to help you all now. Hath, that's an Old English word for already, action already taking place, blessed us with how much? All, come on, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you do not need to pray for God to heal you. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's already yours.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Receive praise of God. Man, isn't that something?
That's good.
You see what faith does? Faith changes the time zone. Why? Because I've just left the temporal and I've elevated to the eternal where there is no time. So now I got to talk no time. Because my confession is going to rule me. And if it keeps me out in the future, that's where my promise will stay. But if I overcome the suggestion of my flesh that I don't have it yet and overcome it with faith and say, wait a minute, by his stripes, I am healed. Right now, now the power of God can move that can bring healing into my body. It's not that I got to pray to God because he's already done it. It's a fact that Jesus bore it on the cross. It's already done. The devil knows it's done. And he's sitting on it trying to hope that you don't come after it. I'm coming after my health. I'm coming after my wealth. I'm coming after my peace. I'm coming after my joy. I'm coming after my everything that God has for me. I'm coming after it. Now, this day. This day, this day, been broke long enough. This day, come on, been anxious long enough. This day, been in fear long enough. Now this day, been without a job long enough. This day, been working. This day, this day, I said this day. That's where we're going here, because he's saying the delay is not from him. He's a this day God. Y'all got that? Now, everything before it's natural is spiritual. All right, let's deal with that a little bit because this helps you. Remember, faith cometh by what?
Hearing,
see. When you hear it and you build understanding, it builds your faith. When you get understanding of what this does, you get confidence. All right, let's go to two places. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 and also go to John chapter 4. Let's go to John chapter 4 first and look at that. Chapter 4, verse 24. All right. While you're turning, I'll go ahead and read. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, God is a spirit. Let's see it, okay? Go to Genesis chapter 1. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. All right? So we know the earth is physical. But God is who?
Spiritual.
So notice, something spiritual created something physical. So the greater reality is spiritual. Got it? So for that natural thing to exist, there had to be a component in the spirit for that natural thing to exist. I want to say that a certain way, but I want to make sure that I say it the right way. Everything material has its origin in the spirit. And material things are dependent upon the spiritual things for their existence. Material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. Did you get that? All right, let me ask you a question. I am spirit, soul, and body. But the real me is spirit. For this body to keep existing, I gotta be in it. Am I right? If I'm not in it, it would fall. And it's not gonna do that till I leave here in long life. Now, it will fall. And if somebody leaves it there, it'll eventually what? Rot or go back to the dust from where it was made. So for my physical body, for you to see it, for it to exist, it has to have a component in the spirit. In other words, material things are dependent on spiritual things for their existence. Now stay with me, because this is key. So no matter what it is, it's got to have something spiritual for its existence. So here is a demon-possessed man and him acting crazy. But when the demons were cast out, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, come on, in his right mind. Why? Because what you saw manifested had a spiritual component for it to manifest. That if you got rid of the spiritual component, the manifestation would no longer exist. Yo, man, you got to catch this. This is vital, vital, vital. Whew. Your situation, no matter what it is first spiritual. And if I can deal with it on the spiritual level, that situation can be fixed. And faith penetrates all the way to the root, which is the spirit. Your flat tire was first spiritual. That hole in that roof was first spiritual. Now, this is vital. Now, I'm not saying you have a flat tire. I take that back in Jesus' name. Now, look, go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Before I do that, put it up there again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, this is a concept that you got to get your mind around. Your spirit will grab it real quick, but your mind is trying to reason with it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us, keep going, with all spiritual blessing. Where are they? In heavenly place. Where are they? In Christ. So I've come into Christ and all those things are now mine. Now I've got to get them manifest in my life. And things are first spiritual before they're natural. So what has happened is there's a situation in my life that my spiritual blessings are not manifested yet. So I need to get them in and get the situation out. Got it? And the way that I'm going to access something in the eternal that's already mine is by my faith. So I'm going to have to take my faith and release my faith for that to come into my life and replace what's already here. I got to work this thing. I got to make sure you get it. A sinner does not need to beg God to save him. All he has to do or she is accept Jesus and receive him as the Lord and Savior. Whether a sinner knows it or not, he or she Jesus belongs to them. He is their Savior. He was my Savior. He belonged to me. He died for me. He, according to the Word of God, that what he did on that cross, he did for me. So he belongs to me. Yes. Technically, he is my property. Now, just stay with me now. I'm not getting sacrilegious. I'm only saying that I have the title to him. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. He belongs to me. Every sinner doesn't need to beg for what belongs to him. He needs to receive it. And every believer doesn't need to beg for what belongs to him or her. They need to receive it. Say amen to that. And what we need to receive what he already did. And he did everything for every area of your life according to life and godliness. Everything he did is already yours. Now, what we got to do is receive it. The Bible doesn't say get rid of something. It says receive something. Because if I receive it, what I've got that's not of God will go. Because two things can't occupy the same place at the same time. Say amen to that. Deliverance belongs to me. Glory to God. His ability belongs to me. His peace belongs to me. His joy belongs to me. All these things belong to me. And everything starts in the spirit. So I got to receive it out of the spirit first. Now for me to receive it out of the spirit, I cannot receive it from my flesh, because flesh and blood can't receive something in the spirit. They can't cross over there. What's flesh is flesh and what's spirit is spirit. So I got to receive it. I got to believe I've received when I prayed and not feel anything about what I just received. So, I still want to get this point now, because you got to get this. Because all sickness has a root. And Jesus came so that we can have faith to lay the axe to the root. We can get in there and cut this thing off at the root. Folks, you can cut strife in your house off at the root, but you can only get to it by faith. Is this making sense to you? Jesus said to the storm, peace, come on, be still. And that was a what? That was a great calm. Now, was he operating out of the flesh or was he operating out of the spirit? Because the flesh can't do that. Lord have mercy. Okay, come on. All right, so he cursed this fig tree. I'm not going to take you any further. I'm just going to do this and finish this up, and then we're going to start here tomorrow. Because I really want you to get this principle, that everything that exists that is material has its origin in the spirit. That if I can cut off the spiritual, then I can manifest something different in the natural. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, while we look not at the things that are what? Seen, but at the things that are what? Not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal, or what? Subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So whatever condition in your life right now that does not line up with the Word of God, it is subject, come on, to change. I can take what is in the Word of God and cut off from the root what is in my life that is not supposed to be in there and replace it with the Word of God. So Jesus goes on down here. So this is all this is about, because I'm only saying that you and I are spiritual beings, and faith comes out of our spirit, and it reconnects us with that eternal realm, that we can do business in both dimensions, both in the spirit and in the natural, with our faith. A person who doesn't have faith has to stay in one dimension. They have to stay in that physical and hope things get better. But you don't have to hope on nothing other than the Word of God, that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, come on, not seen. And faith will never fail you. Glory, have mercy. Faith always accomplishes what it is sent out to do. And you have faith, and you can send faith out. And watch this. Faith is creative. Faith, just like they didn't have enough loaves and fishes, faith was now operating and created as much as they could eat. Now notice, it started with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Lord have mercy. More revelation come to me as I tell you one thing, it gets deeper. And it started with 2 fish and 5 loaves. But notice the creation part of faith. Notice the Word of God, how it creates. Notice in the woman with only one meal left, notice how it created. Notice the woman with only oil, one jar of oil, notice how it created. Now, over in Matthew chapter 15, it created limbs. So if faith will create limbs, and it can only create limbs because limbs are already in the eternal. See, it's not making anything new. It's just accessing what is spiritually a part of your inheritance and bringing it into your life. It will give you new sight. It will give you new organs. It will give you new kidneys, new ovaries, new in. It doesn't make any difference. And all of it's yours. It's yours. It's paid for. It's private property. And the enemy is trying to keep you from it, because when you get it, faith is contagious. It will spread to other people, and they will want to use their faith to do something in their lives, and the enemy will lose all the ground that he's got, and he'll have to get on out of here. Wait a minute. I know I was taking you to Mark chapter 11, but let's look at Mark chapter 5. I keep hearing that in my spirit. Mark chapter 5. Look what it says. Now, this is verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had, and when she was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things. Evidence of things. Evidence. What's another name for evidence? Proof. Faith is a proof of something not seen with the natural eyes. So it must be there, because for it to have proof, it's got to be there. You can't have something there with no proof. In other words, if I can prove it, then it must be there. I've got the proof. It's faith that it's already there. God is not doing anything new. He's already done it. He's eternal. He looked to your future and saw that you were going to need a kidney. He looked to your future and saw that you were going to need deliverance. He looked to your future because he has no time. He sees the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He sees your whole life just like that. And he prepared everything you will need. Now, he doesn't want the enemy to take your inheritance. Jesus died, and the New Testament carries with it all that was the benefactor left us in the will. This is the last will and testament, and everything is in there. Everything you will need is already in the promise. So I take the promise and hear it. And once I start hearing it, it then goes from my head to my heart. And once it fills up my heart, I'm ready to release my faith. And I release my faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And my faith brings it into manifestation by the power of the Holy Ghost. Folks, God took care of everything. Say amen to that. Amen. The enemy fights your faith. He knows what your faith can do. It can overcome the world. Anything that the world will put on your faith can take it off. Anything that the world has done to your faith can reverse it. Anything that the world tries to keep you from, faith will take you to it. Anything that the world tries to hold that belongs to you, faith takes it. It'll take everything that belonged to you and ask nobody nothing. Look at this, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather, how did she grow? She grew worse. She had an image inside of her of getting worse and worse. Why? Because they probably helped her. They probably said, I'm sorry, there's just no cure. Each time she went to a different physician, they could not be able to cure her. Now the pressures and thinking of the fact that this thing is getting worse, and it did get worse, because that's where her thinking was. It was getting worse and worse and worse. Let me ask you, if it kept getting worse, what would eventually have happened to that woman? She would have died, but she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. What comes when you hear about the Word of God? Faith. What did it do? Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. The Bible says when Abraham had no hope, he got hope from God. In other words, he was 99 years old. His body was no longer producing children. Sarah had never had a child. But what he said, God said that he's going to have a baby. And the Bible says Abraham, he considered not his body, nor the deadness of his wife's womb, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, for he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform it. God promised you that. God promised you peace. God promised you joy. God promised you no lack. God promised you that you'll have success. And what God promised you, he is able to perform. He's looking for your faith. When this woman had heard of Jesus, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. He came on and touched his garment. Verse 29, straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up, and she was felt in her body that she was what? Healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, what? Who touched me? Disciples said, you know all these people pushing on you and say, who touched me? He said, no. Somebody. I said, somebody. All those people. Now, what do you do with this? You take it and say, hey, I've got a female disorder here. I've got something wrong with my body here. Then you take that one right there and build yourself some faith. Say amen to that. Somebody, where he's saying over in John chapter 5, where the man was above 30 years old, you said, well, I'm getting on up in age at 38. No, he had been 38 years trying to get healed or something like that. Well, he was up in age. You can say, but I was up in age. Well, praise God, I'm up in age. If Jesus will do it for him, he'll do it for me. Say amen to that. You got to take it and put yourself in there. Build your faith. Say amen to that. Faith is not embarrassed. Faith, if you're still embarrassed, you're not in faith yet. Stay in that word until all the embarrassment gets out of your system. And now you're in faith. Now you're willing to press your way through a crowd that's blocking your way to your destiny. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, come on. Thy faith has made you whole. You go in peace now and be whole of your plague. Whole means your money's coming back. Turn to one more place. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? I'm saying you got private property that the enemy's been trying to sit on. And I want him off. I want him out of your life starting today. Say amen to that. Now, understand, to get this, you must leave the realm of the five senses, because the five senses are designed to try to hold you into a place of this natural physical world. But you've got to leave that. Faith sometimes appears to the intellectual to be a little crazy. But praise God for four crazy friends that was over in Mark chapter 2. They tore open a roof and let their friend down in there right in front of Jesus while he was giving the doxology or something, praise God. Well, whatever happened, Jesus said, he looked up and saw their faith, and this is what he said to the man, son, thy sins be forgiven you. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Notice he didn't say that till he saw some faith. Look what it says here, and I'll read this and we'll stop. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. But when Jesus saw her, he called her, or heard him, and he said to her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And he laid his hands on her, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the what day? Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days which men ought to work, and in them shall therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away watering? Ought not this woman, Lord have mercy, being a daughter of who?
Abraham.
Whom who has bound? Satan has bound. Be what? Loose. These 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when they had heard these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I like that. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Now, he mentioned that, and this daughter of Abraham said to me, that she had a right to be healed. I said, you have a right to be healed. I said, you have a right to be healed. Now, that's not arrogance, that's your right. I said, you have a bill of rights. It's right here, and you have a right to be healed because you are a child of Abraham. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to pick up from here. And faith means that we have left the sense realm. Faith means that we have left the sense realm. Now, understand that there are five senses: your sight, your hearing, your speaking, so forth and so on, your words, tongue. And these same five senses are duplicated in the spirit realm. And you must hear first. And he said to those who have ears, let them hear. And he was not talking about your natural ears. He's talking about your spiritual ears. So faith comes how? By hearing. Now, also, you got to speak. And the Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 10, that the righteousness of God speaketh on this wise. So your spirit can speak. And next thing, you got to believe. That's the heart. And the Bible says that thou shalt believe with the heart. And also seeing, that we can see. We can see things that other folk can't see. We have spiritual eyes in our spirit. Now, the only thing I'm telling you is that we have a full complement of senses in the spirit realm, just like we do in the natural realm. And that you can operate by faith in that spirit realm, just like you can operate by natural faith of seeing things and experiences in the physical faith. So we're going to move from this realm of the natural, and we're going to take a venture into the spirit. And we're going to see how I activate my faith so that I can make sure that when I say, this day shall the Lord deliver you in my hand, we know it's going to come about. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. So I'm saying that God has made it so that you and I can fight a battle and win. And I mean win every battle. No more win a few, lose a few, and all that kind of garbage. We're going to win every one of them because we are fighting a good fight, come on, of faith, and we're going to lay hold on eternal life. This is our time. God's going to raise us up. All I got to teach you this is faith, how it works, how you get it, how you develop it, how you turn it loose, and see the results of it in your life. Give the Lord a praise. We're dealing with the life of faith. Did y'all get something out of that today? All right. Now, we still went a little bit over tonight. We'll kind of cut that down tomorrow night. So we won't have as much praise and worship now. So try to get here on time because we're going to start a little bit earlier. Now, your destiny is faith defined. Don't ever let anybody tell you what you can achieve. Faith determines your destiny. Come on, not somebody. And so this is your time now. See, when you don't have faith, you're going to have to use the systems of the world many times. You're going to have to count on the systems, and the system not doing anything but either manipulating somebody or whatever have you, because that's the way they get along. Remember, Babylon is a system trying to exist without God. So faith brings God back into your life. You've got faith. We're going to teach you how to use it. I'm telling you, by Friday night, you're going to be able to do something with your faith. You watch and see. You're going to be able to do something with your faith. And that's what we want. If you're here, you know that God has spoken to your heart. You know in your life you're not right where you should be with God. And one thing that we know is that God loves you. And like I say, Jesus belongs to you. This is your time.